Listen, join with me in saying this this evening, would you? This is the day, the Lord has made. I will rejoice, and I will be glad in it. That is your theme tonight. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Build your kingdom here, Lord. Build your kingdom here and build it now. Now, not tomorrow, not next week, not with Doug, not with Jim, not with Susie, with me. That's our prayer tonight, folks. Well, we've had a fantastic week so far, and I tell you what, the Lord has really been just using these sermons. Pastor Steve started us out Sunday morning. When we were over here, we were being cleansed by the pouring of water. Right, Pastor Herb came to us on Sunday evening, and he spoke to a specific group of people, those that have once experienced grace maybe and just kind of got dull by life and the way life kind of does that to us, and we need to go in and get the sharpened saw. And then last night, Pastor Xavier told us he was real transparent, and I told him I appreciated him being transparent. Amen. When you can be transparent, folks, you can be effective. And I appreciated him sharing his heart last night about removing the stone and putting in a heart of flesh. And so tonight we're going to continue with a theme in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 through 28. And if you've got your Bibles this evening, let's go ahead and just read that portion of Scripture once again. As we have become more familiar with that day in and day out here this week, let's continue to do so and keep the pattern going. So Ezekiel 36, let's begin at verses 25 and go through 28. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You will live in the land I gave your forefathers, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. So here, folks, this evening is what we're seeing, right? We're seeing, Pastor Herb talked about it, we're going from the macro to the micro. We're going to God. You know, God is really speaking to a whole nation in Ezekiel here. He's talking about a whole nation of people that he's trying to lead back, and people that weren't following his statutes, weren't following his decrees. And what happens to that? Well, they were dispersed. They were taken captive and taken to other nations and just really scattered across the land. And I'll tell you, there's nothing worse than being scattered from your family. Amen? And I'll tell you what, that was the realization of what was taking place in that point in time. But I'll tell you what I want to do tonight. Because I'm trying to figure out a question. The question is, why reconciliation? Why do we need reconciliation? Why do the people of Israel need reconciliation? What is the problem? What is the problem? So let's go back a little bit further in history, can we? So if you got your Bibles there, let's travel all the way back to Leviticus. Can we do that? All the way back to Leviticus. Let's go to chapter 26 tonight. And I'll tell you what, it's important that we read this chapter to understand the concept of the need of reconciliation, because this is going to guide us and direct us from this point forward in the sermon here this evening. It will be a little lengthy read, but I want you at least to hear the words of what God was telling and preparing his people as he was giving these directions. And it reads like this here this evening. Do not make idols or set up any image or sacred stone for yourselves, and do not place a carved stone in your land or bow down before it. I am the Lord your God. Observe my Sabbaths and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you rain in its season, and the ground will yield its crops, and the trees of the field will bear their fruit. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest, and the grape harvest will continue until planting. And you will eat all the food you want and live in safety in your land. Are you gathering the theme so far? I mean, everything's happening, right? I mean, the job is, you're getting all the promotions you wanted in the world, and all the raises are coming at you, and everything's fantastic. Amen? Let's keep reading. I will grant peace in your land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid. I will remove the savage beast from the land, and the sword will not pass through your country. You will pursue your enemies, and they will fall by the sword before you. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall by the sword before you. I will look on you with favor and make you fruitful and increase your numbers, and I will keep my covenant with you. You will be eating last year's harvest when you will have to move it out to make room for the new. How about that one? I will put my dwelling place among you, and I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you'll be my people. Where have you heard that? I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yokes, enabled you to walk through the with your heads held high. But if you will not listen to me and carry out all my commands, if you reject my decrees and abhor my laws and fail to carry out all my commands and so violate my covenant, then will I do this to you. I will bring upon you sudden terror, wasting diseases and fever that will destroy your sight and drain away your life. You will plant seed in vain because your enemies will eat it. I will set my face against you so that you will be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you will rule over you, and you will flee even no one is pursuing, even though no one is pursuing you. If after all of this you will not listen to me, I will punish you for your sins 7 times over. I will break down your stubborn pride and make you a sky, and make the sky above you like iron and the ground beneath you like bronze. Your strength will be spent in vain because your soil will not yield its crops, and nor will the trees of the yield their fruit. Folks, we have just gone way over here, haven't we? We had everything, and now we have nothing here this evening. If you remain hostile toward me and refuse to listen to me, I will multiply your afflictions 7 times over as your sin deserves. And I will send wild animals against you, and they will rob you of your children, destroy your cattle, and make you so few in number that your roads will be deserted. If in spite of these things you do not accept my correction, but continue to be hostile toward me, I myself will be hostile towards you and will afflict you for your sins 7 times over. And I will bring the sword upon you to avenge the breaking of the covenant. When you withdraw into your cities, I will send a plague among you, and you will be given into enemy hands. When I cut off your supply of bread, 10 women will be able to bake your bread in one oven, and they will dole out the bread by weight. You will eat, but you will not be satisfied. In spite of this, you still do not listen to me, but continue to be hostile toward me. Then in my anger, I will be hostile towards you. I myself will punish you for your sins 7 times over. You will eat the flesh of your sons and the flesh of your daughters. I will destroy your high places, cut down your incense altars, and pile your dead bodies on the lifeless forms of your idols, and I will abhor you. I will turn your cities into ruins and lay waste your sanctuaries, and I will take no delight in the pleasing aroma of your offerings. I will lay waste the land so that your enemies who live there will be appalled. I will scatter you among the nations and will draw you out by my sword and pursue you. Your land will be laid waste and your cities will lie in ruins. Then the land will enjoy its Sabbath years all the time that it lies desolate and you're on the country of your enemies. Then the land will rest and enjoy its Sabbaths. What a sad time. All the time that it lies desolate, the land will have the rest it did not have during the Sabbath that you lived in it. And for those of you that are left, I will make their hearts so fearful in the lands of their enemies that the sound of a windblown leaf will put them to flight. They will run as though fleeing from the sword, and they will fall even though no one is pursuing them. They will stumble over one another as fleeing from the sword, even though no one is pursuing them. So you will not be able to stand before your enemies. You will perish among the nations. The land of your enemies will devour you. Those of you who are left will waste away in the lands of your enemies because of their sins, because of their father's sins, they will waste away. But, if they will confess their sins and the sins of their fathers, their treachery against me and their hostility toward me, which made me hostile toward them, so that I might send them into the land of their enemies, then when their uncircumcised hearts are humbled and they pay for the sins, I will remember my covenant with Jacob and my covenant with Isaac and my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember the land. For the land will be deserted by them and will enjoy its Sabbath while it lies desolate without them. They will pay for the sins because they rejected my laws and abhorred my decrees. Yet in spite of this, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not reject them or abhor them so as to destroy them completely, breaking my covenant with them. I am the Lord their God, but for their sake, I will remember the covenant with their ancestors whom I brought out of Egypt. In the sight of the nations, be their God. I am the Lord. These are the decrees and laws and the regulations of the Lord established on Mount Sinai between himself and the Israelites through Moses. What are we reading here tonight? What's Ezekiel talking about here tonight? He's talking about going back to Leviticus 26 and saying, hey, this is what the Lord says. You know why? Because in Leviticus, he told you exactly what to do. And oh, by the way, if you don't, he told you exactly what was going to happen. Right. It should be no surprise. Right. That's right. It should be no surprise. Reconciliation is needed when there is disobedience. Right. Disobedience takes place whenever there is wrong and it should be right. Reconciliation is needed when there is disobedience. It's just like, how did the Israelites know that they were in the wrong? It's no different than we're raising children, right? We raise our children up and we try to teach them what's right and what's wrong. And we also teach them, well, if you do the wrong, here's the consequences. But if you do the right, here's the reward. Or for those of us that are, you know, you go to work 8 to 5 every day and you go into the office, there are rights and there are wrongs. And there is consequences and there is reward. It is no different. Without the knowledge of that, how do you know? If you know not right and you know not wrong, how do you know? Well, God gave specific, explicit details about what would happen if they decided to disobey him. And it is no different than you and I today. God gives us explicit, specific directions on how to live. Right. And you say, whoa, I see a lot of gray areas. I got a lot of questions. I understand. But you want to really get to the core of things. It's very specific and explicit. There's no gray areas in the core of doing what God wants you to do. And the Israelites, I tell you what, they had to seek the forgiveness of God, right? I mean, here's God coming out. They're dispersed among the nations, and all of a sudden they're on their own. And what's happening there? When that happens? See, Israel was the fingerprint of God in the world. They were him in the world. He lived through them in the world. He shared who he was in the world through the Israelites. He does the same through us. We, if you're a believer tonight, you are the fingerprint of God in the world.
That's right.
The people of Israel, they were known how? How did the people know the Israelites? Because they were from Jerusalem. How did they know that they were from Jerusalem? I mean, they were a specific ethnic group. Yes, I get that. But there was rumors, folks, of what God had done and what God is doing throughout the land. They knew what the Lord say in Ezekiel, if you read further up in Ezekiel and further down in Ezekiel, that they were defiling his name amongst the people. Your God won't even let you in his land. He won't even let you back home. It's like you're kicked out of the house. Don't come back. But let's not quit there tonight, folks. God goes after them. God again says, I'm not going to break my covenant. I was employed at a place for a few years, and I got to know this gentleman in the office a little bit, and he was a little tempered, hot-tempered. Not tempered in a good way, hot-tempered. And when every time something went wrong, he would just take his keys, throw it around, and he'd turn in circles, and then he'd get out and he'd pick those keys up. And I was a new Christian, okay? I probably wasn't a Christian. I couldn't have been a Christian a year working with this gentleman. And often he would just throw his keys down. When he was mad, he'd turn around and he'd pick them up. And I'll tell you, the first thing that went through my mind is like, why are you throwing them down if you're going to pick them back up? Seriously, that was the first. I was like, you're crazy, man. But I began to think to myself as I began to work with this individual, I thought, man, you can relate. I just thought, if I could just get away from this guy, I would be all right. I don't know how, but if I just could. But one day he comes in and he announces that he's quitting. And I quietly had a celebration, had a cake and all that good stuff. Balloons. Internally, that was. But I was excited because I had been praying for the situation. Seriously, I'd been praying. And when he left, I said, amen, answer to prayer. Hallelujah. I am all right now. I wish I was all right now. It wasn't a few weeks, few months later, the phone rings, and it's him. I thought, oh my Lord, what's going on here? Come on, Lord, you've just delivered me, and now this guy is calling me. And he says, hey, I'm over at this new place, and we'd like for you to come over. It's in the same industry, and I was like, wow, man. I tell you what, I pulled out my prayer card. I said, I really need to pray about this. Oh, I understand. That's okay. Next day, he calls me again. He's like, listen, we really got an opening over here. He just, he's selling me now. So he's like, we really could. I said, you know what? Just let me pray about this. I really don't know at this point. So I begin to kind of just think, wow, this has gone the opposite direction that I needed it to go. So I began to converse with my father-in-law, who was my spiritual mentor, is a great man of God. And I began to ask him, hey, this is coming up. I'm really not interested. I kind of gave him the backstory of what took place and how excited I was and thought it was an answer to prayer that he was no longer working with me. He said, well, is it going to pay you more money? I was like, what? I don't know. I'll have to ask the question. And so he called me back the day after, and I said, I'll talk. And so the local general manager said, hey, I'll meet you at this restaurant. We'll come in there and we'll talk. I said, okay, we can do that. And he said, well, what would it take to get you to come over? And I gave him a number, and he said, well, we'll give you more than that. And I was just like, okay. I said, I'll still think about it. So I go home, talk to my father-in-law, and he said, they're going to give you more money? I said, yes, they're going to give me more money. You need to go. I don't know if he's doing it for my sake or doing it for his daughter's sake. But in any case, I yielded to the man of wisdom, and I said, okay, I'll go. And I walked in there, and I thought, what have I got myself into? But here's what I've learned in that lesson of life. It was me that needed to change. It was me that needed to soften up and not be so critical and not be so judgmental and not have such a discontent with an individual. See, God was teaching the Israelites, later in the scripture, we're going to read this, we're going to get to this point, hang tight here tonight. But he goes after the people of Israel, okay? He's going to go gather them up, and he's going to gather them up. Why? Because he says, for his name's sake. For his name's sake. For his name's sake, he'll do wonders for you. He will do wonders for you. God is not going to just let his people be dispersed and left to just rot away. That's not who we serve tonight, folks. When we sing because he lives, I can face tomorrow. We sing because he lives, I can face tomorrow. It has to be within here that we say, I can face tomorrow. And then we sing, build your kingdom here, Lord. Set your church on fire, Lord. Build your kingdom here. Let it be so. This week I read out of 2 Kings because here we find the Israelites again are dispersed. And understand that God is talking, if we look in the context of scripture here, God is talking to a whole nation, right? He's talking to a whole, he's coming, United States of America. You have not followed my decrees and commands. And we say, phew, he's not talking to me. He's talking to the nation. See, when you're a kid, when you ever get in trouble, it's always better to get in trouble when it's a group of you. And when you got siblings, it's better when three of you's on the couch getting in trouble by one than one-on-one. Okay? So we think, wow, he's talking about the whole nation. And here's the trouble with that. Here's the trouble. What's the nation made of? You and me. It's the me factor. It's the me factor. So God's chasing after them, but we make up them. So how do we change me? How do we change me? In 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 9 through 13, God simply asked Elijah one question. One question. Why are you here? Now, when he asked him the first time, he gave him a real good answer. You know, I've been zealous for the Lord God Almighty. These people are chasing me and blah, 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 blah. And he goes through it and God says, Elijah, why are you here? Israel, why are you dispersed? Why do you make that choice? Because in the reality of things, folks, it's really up to you and I, isn't it? It's up to you and I. We can blame other people. We can blame it on, you know, as a kid, I'd love to blame it on my brother or sister. But it was really me. And when a group of us friends got in trouble, I'd love to think that I could blame it on them, but it was me. Me and me. I had no one but me to blame. And the reality is that when it all is said and done, it's just up to me. So the question tonight too is why do I run away? Why do I run away? Why does God have to go find me? What has pushed me away from him that he has to come chase after me? What has he done that I take off and go run? The question. The second question. Now listen, that first question, I can't answer you. It's not in Scripture. That's up to you and I to answer that question. Why do we run from him? And our second question tonight is, okay, once I identify my problem, why I'm running, how do I get back? How do I get back to the house of Israel? How do I get back to my own land as the Israelites are being brought back to their own land? How do I get there? What have I done to run away? Why am I running away? And how do I get back? Listen, the answer to that I can share with you tonight. The answer to coming back is listening to God and seeking him. Amen. Listening and seeking. That's how we get back to him. He's calling. He's calling. He's calling you and he's calling me to do what? To do something greater and better than we ever imagined. We are limitless. Limitless in what we are going to be able to do for him one day. And that's today. Right. Not tomorrow. I've gone through life and I've wondered, where exactly am I supposed to be, Lord? Where are you, Elijah? Why are you here, Elijah? Lord, where am I supposed to be? I know I'm not supposed to be scattered to the nations, but where am I supposed to be? And I've learned a valuable lesson in recent years. Where I'm supposed to be is where I'm at. I can seek and ask the Lord's will for my life. But if I can spend my entire life looking for it. I can waste days looking for it. But if I recognize that where I'm at today, I am very capable of doing his will and he is with me where I'm at, what am I searching for? Where you are today is where you need to be. Where you need to be with him, that's between you and him. Okay? But I'm telling you, when we made the move up to Illinois 3 years, 2.5 years ago, we've never moved in our whole life, okay? We've lived in the same house. We moved after 2 years after we were married. I shouldn't correct that. But when we moved up here, I was deeply concerned about where am I supposed to be? Where am I supposed to be? Where is my family supposed to be? And as we begin to make that progression, step after step, decision after decision, and then time goes by and time goes by, and then all of a sudden you sign the paper and it's done. And I've learned since I've been up here that where I am is where I need to be. And what do I need to do where I'm at right now is doing His will. How am I doing His will? And that is loving people, man. I was at a leadership conference at work, and there's 16 of us selected of a group that comes out of a nationwide group, and they're I'm going to use the word discipling. They're trying to, you know, disciple us into future leaders of the company or whatever. The last day, 3 weeks ago, we're at a meeting in Houston. The last day, they laid out a whole bunch of pictures on the floor. I mean, hundreds and hundreds. And they said, I want each of you to go out, pick out a picture that's your passion, that describes your passion. Now, listen, I'm in a room, you know, we're all talking business, and it's God is like 1,000 miles away to them. But Buddha's nearby for some reason. They quote him. But as I was combing through those pictures and thinking about where I'm at in the room of these people, and I thought, what's my passion? What is my passion? So I combed through those pictures, and there's a variety of pictures. Some are naturally taken, some are taken by some professional, and some are taken by amateurs. And I grabbed a picture, and the picture was this. The picture was three people going up a snow-capped mountain, and they were hiking up this mountain. And the picture was they were all spaced accordingly. And within them was the rope that was to keep them together. And they had, I've never been mountain climbing, folks, and that's what I told them. I don't know what other kind of tools, a clasp or caribous or whatever things you got to have. That's coffee, isn't it? That's coffee, Pastor. Was coffee. I think it's Pete, right? And I held that card up in front of everybody. I said, here's my passion. My passion is to lead people. And my passion is to lead people to the top of their mountain. With the integrity of the tools that we have, my goal in life is to lead people to the top of their mountain. And when I finished saying what I said in that meeting, I thought to myself, Lord, thank you. That is my passion of passions, whether I'm at work or whether I'm preaching. That is my passion. And I tell you what, tonight, folks, we've got to take the passion that God is giving us. I don't care what it is, folks. I don't care what it is. Later in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 37 through 38, God is not deaf to the voice of those that seek Him. God is not deaf to your voice that seek Him.
We didn't hear it, Tony. Say it again.
God is not deaf to the voice of the people that seek Him.
Amen.
That is the truth tonight. When we come to the grips of our own self and we realize that who we are in Christ is something greater than who we are in ourselves. Okay, you get it? There's two different yous tonight, okay? Sometimes there's you, how you see you, and there's you, how He sees you.
Amen.
That's the only thing that matters, is how He sees you.
Amen.
Forget it. I love what Pastor Xavier said last night. He really began to get into his message, and as he was preparing for it, he realized what? It's me. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. What's next? I understand why I need reconciliation is because of disobedience. Maybe you've answered the question of why do you run from Him? And the answer has been given is how do you get back? How do you get back is to listen and seek God. That's how we get back. In verse 27, I tell you, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. I will put a spirit in you. I will put a spirit in you to what? To move you. Have you ever been moved about something? Have you ever been moved about something? Has someone ever moved you? Have you been compelled to be moved to go do something for somebody? The Spirit of God within you will move you to do the things that God wants you to do. That's the truth tonight. We talked about the cleansing water, okay? If we go in, if we jump over to the New Testament, we go into Mark. And John the Baptist says what? He says, I baptize with water. Okay? But there's one coming after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. This whole series, this whole story of Ezekiel is giving us tonight about the people of Israel. It's about God going after those people that were lost, who were once found, but they're lost. Okay, they're back home now. Oh yeah, now it's about getting rid of that old stony heart that we got inside of us that's been kind of callous because we've been living over there amongst the people that don't follow God or listen to God. Okay, now we got the heart. We got the heart of flesh. All right. Tonight, you have the most beautiful opportunity tonight to go. What's next? To allow the Holy Spirit to really have full control of your life, folks. Amen. That's what we have tonight. That's taking us to that next level as we surrender it all to Him. Not just you. I'm talking all. I'm talking, Lord, wherever I'm at today, I will do what you want me to do. I will be who you want me to be. That's all. That's what He's asking of you. That is putting the Spirit in you, that you move to follow His decrees and His commands. And tonight, I want to ask John if you would come up for us tonight. And folks, this is, Pastor Herr put it very well Sunday evening. This is not a big emotional service. This is just really matter of fact. You know and God knows where you're at. You know where you want to be. And God's willing to take you there. And tonight as He leads us, if you feel so compelled, you know, last night we had a wonderful group of people that came down and really took care of some business. And folks, this is what we're doing. We're taking care of business this week. It's not for show. It's for you and for building the kingdom of God here today. Not tomorrow, today. Right. You're very important to that building kingdom, to the kingdom building project, okay? So tonight, I want you to bow with me in prayer here this evening. And just let the Holy Spirit speak to you tonight, would you? Just set the day aside, if you haven't already. And just ask yourself, Lord, Lord, exactly what do you want me to do? What do you need from me? How much more of me do you need? And how much more can I give? Because the truth of the matter is, folks, tonight, it's going to be up to you and I on how much we're willing to give. That's the question tonight. Father in heaven, we are so thankful for you tonight. We are but a small broken vessel, Lord, in the midst of you. But we pray tonight, Father, that your Holy Spirit would continue to speak and to move and to guide and direct your people, Lord. And we pray, Father, Lord, that those that know you as Lord and Savior, Father, and maybe some of those tonight, Lord, are needing to really recommit themselves wholly and fully unto you. Maybe there's something in life that's just kind of holding them back a little bit, Lord, and just kind of they pull back the reins whenever they're ready to explode, but they seemingly are just kind of holding in a little bit for some reason. Maybe for that certain time when there's opportunity. But Lord, set us free tonight from that. Break that bondage that limits us, Lord, tonight. And if it's us, let it be. If it's something else in life that's grabbing a hold of us, let it be broken tonight. And Father, tonight, if there is somebody here tonight, Lord, who for the first time, maybe they've never really committed themselves to you and never asked you to forgive them of their sins. And Father, just never really come to that point of reconciliation and repentance. May that be tonight, Father. May you open that floodgate for them and may they come and receive the greatest gift of all gifts. And that's the gift of forgiveness. And Father, tonight we pray that your Holy Spirit would just continue to fill us up tonight. And for those that are coming tonight, Lord, may you bless them and encourage them tonight. We want to give you the praise and glory as we sing this song tonight.